Welcome to the Distant Learning Program of Atomic Energy Education Society, Mumbai. Today, we shall discuss the second module of the lesson, We Are Not Afraid to Die If We Can All Be Together, by Gordon Cook and Alan East. In the first module, we discuss about the narrator Gordon Cook's desire to sail in his own boat and duplicate the round-the-world voyage made 200 years earlier by Captain James Cook. We also discuss about how he arranged a wonderful boat, Way Walker, for his voyage, and the preparations that he made along with his wife to undertake this voyage. We went on to discuss the beginning of the journey and the subsequent challenges that they had to face during the course of their voyage. Now let's continue the story. On January 3, they were able to control the water level to such an extent that they took rest for 2 hours by taking turns. This had another concern. The boat had a tremendous leak somewhere below the waterline. The wave that had hit the wave walker had caused extensive damage to the boat. Though they had braved the storm for 15 hours, they didn't expect wave walker to hold together long enough for them to reach Australia. As the condition of wave walker was not stable, they had to think of other alternatives. They thought and decided and also hoped to reach the nearest island, Isle Amsterdam, a French scientific base. Unfortunately, the chances of their reaching the island were very remote, very, very less. It could have been possible only if the wind and sea calmed down. There was some respite on January 4th. After pumping water continuously for 36 hours, they had almost drained out the water from the boat. Now, they decided to hoist the storm jib as the main mast was completely destroyed. They were optimistic that they would be able to reach the island. Now that the things seemed to be improving, they had their first meal in 2 days. The respite that they had got was very short-lived because the weather started changing for the worse. The sea was getting higher and higher. The weather continued to deteriorate, and on January 5th, their condition was again desperate. Fear of death loomed large. They were under great mental stress. In this condition, the narrator decided to walk into the cabin of the children and comfort them. So, he went to comfort the children. He was speechless to see his son's indomitable fearlessness and never give up spirit. Jonathan, who was just a 6-year-old boy, very innocently asked his father whether they were all going to die. Poor narrator didn't know how to answer and what to say because he himself was not sure about the condition. He had his set of doubts in the mind. But to reassure his son, he said that they would make it to safety. Usually all the parents do the same thing. Though the condition may be very bad, they always motivate their children to try, at least attempt, make an attempt to accomplish their dreams and desires. It might be difficult, but the confidence that the parents instill in us make us do things which are beyond imagination. Though the narrator tried to reassure his son, he was taken aback by Jonathan's brave remark. Jonathan bravely remarked, I quote, "We aren't afraid of dying if we can all be together, you and Mummy, Sue and I," unquote. Listening to these words, Gordon was spellbound. These words of his 6-year-old son eliminated his physical, mental and emotional tiredness, his emotional fatigue, and filled him with new energy, new josh and new spirit. That is, he was filled with new vigor and vitality. These words gave him new hope and aspiration to fight all odds, to fight the massive sea, to fight the gigantic, fierce sea. With the moral support of his young, yet mature and brave children, the narrator continued his effort. Despite being badly injured, he decided to give his best. He retained his calmness, and calmness is exactly what is required when we are in a dangerous situation, when we are facing a calamity, because calmness gives us a sense of reasoning. So he retained his calmness and applied every possible strategy to tackle the critical situation, and that too with zeal and vigor. He tried his best to protect the weakened starboard side. He used an improvised sea anchor of heavy nylon rope and 2 22-liter plastic barrels of paraffin. That evening, the narrator and his wife Mary sat together holding hands, feeling desperate because they had lost all hopes. They felt that their end was near. So, to get some respite and to console each other, they held their hands and waited for their approaching end. Someone has rightly said, "Fortune favors the brave, and God helps them, those who help themselves." So, fortunately, on January 6th, Wave Walker sailed through the storm because the wind had slowed down. The narrator went into the chart room and worked on the wind speed, changes of course, drift and current. He calculated their position with the help of sextant. They were searching for a 65-kilometer wide island somewhere in 150,000 kilometers of water, ocean. While the narrator was busy with his calculations, Sue, his daughter, moving painfully, joined him. The left side of her head had swollen up and her blackened eyes narrow to slits. She gave him a card that she had made for them. She had made caricatures, the cartoon of her parents. And she said that after she had completed her drawing, she had laughed a lot. And inside the card, she had penned down a message. The message read, I quote, "Oh, how I love you both. So, this card is to say thank you and let's hope for the best." The card was meant to express her love, gratitude, thankfulness and hope along with her good wishes. She wanted to bring some light and ray of hope to the gloomy atmosphere due to the threat of death surrounding them. The narrator had lost the main compass and was using a spare one, which had not been corrected for magnetic variation. Though the narrator checked and rechecked his calculations, he wasn't sure about its correctness. Now, the success of the voyage depended solely on the assumption and, of course, their luck. Though he himself was not sure, he asked Larry to steer a course of 185 degrees. They could expect to see the island at about 5 p.m. Because he wasn't very sure about the success, he went to his cabin with heavy heart. He wanted to get some rest. As he was extremely tired, he fell asleep. When he woke up, it was 6 p.m. and growing dark. He felt miserable because he thought that they had missed the island. Fortunately, they had sailed and managed to find Isle Amsterdam by evening. Jonathan wanted to hug him as he felt that he was the best daddy and the best captain in the world. But the narrator was not keen on hugging Jonathan because he did not know that they had been successful in reaching the island. On being informed about finding the island, the narrator's joy knew no bound. He rushed on deck and gazed with relief at the stark outline of Isle Amsterdam. It was only a bleak piece of volcanic rock with very little vegetation. But the narrator calls it the most beautiful island in the world. He called it so because it provided them safety. Safety from the gigantic waves of the sea and also an opportunity to repair their damaged ship. It was their only ray of hope. Now that they were safe, his thoughts were full of Larry and Herb. Larry and Herb had been cheerful and optimistic under the direst stress. He also thought of Mary, who had stayed at the wheel for all those crucial hours. Most of all, he thought of Suzanne, a 7-year-old girl who didn't want to worry them about her head injury, which subsequently took 6 minor operations to remove a recurring blood clot between skin and skull. And he also thought about little Jonathan, a 6-year-old brave boy who wasn't afraid to die. After reading the story, there are some things that we should certainly take home with us. In 21st century, we have become weak, mentally, emotionally, physically weak. A small failure in life lets us down. We feel desperate, and there are people who go into depression. So these are the lessons I personally would expect you all to take home. The first, how we should keep calm and react in the direst situation. And one of the most important lessons, never to give up and never to lose hope. The story also tells us that every problem in this world has a solution. All that we need to do is be ready to look around and find solution instead of running away from the problem. Whenever we get a problem in life, we ask the Lord, why me? Let's slightly change our attitude and tell Lord, try me, but give me all the courage to fight any situation in life. The next important message that the lesson gives us is importance of positivity in the face of adversity. It also reinforces the power of unity and teamwork. Together, we can make wonders. We can find miracle. And certainly, the role of a strong, supportive family in individual's life. I hope all of you would learn these lessons from this story and make the rest of your journey in this life a successful one. Thank you. Have a fabulous reading.